Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lesson 2, Journaling the Journey. Meditation logs have been around for a long time, and there's different formats that you can use for this, whether it's a simple journal where you just roughly write down your experience, or you give yourself to a framework that actually logs specific events. We sell as a company a full meditation log that you can purchase off Amazon, but we also have the exact same thing for free on this website that you can print off yourself and just use. And I want to go through it kind of piece by piece, what you can expect from the free downloaded version on here and why each piece is important. So whether you're using a journal or you're using a log, you know, the important bits to, you know, make sure you keep in there are the important things to touch on as you're going through it. So our log is really comprised of two pages per meditation. The first one is called Meditation Log Scratchpad, and it's just got a few boxes that you can flow through pretty easily. The importance, whether you're going to journal or you're going to use a log, is immediately as soon as you're done your meditation that you turn to your log, right? If you wait 5, 10 minutes, an hour, you're going to lose a lot of the details, especially the stuff that you're needing to be tracking. So the first box is just time meditated, right? So it's 5 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 plus minutes. And all we're really doing in these moments is tracking our progress of what our habit looks like. Is it a brief and light meditation? Are we struggling with getting past 5 minutes? You're going to want to look for, when you look backwards, you're going to want to look for those breakthroughs in time where all of a sudden it jumps up to 10 or it jumps up to 20 or it jumps up to 30. The second one is a meditation name, right? And then below that it says first time used, yes or no. These are really important. As you go back, you want to reflect on the meditations that really meant something to you and that you found comfort with. And then you're going to kind of cross look at that for your mood, right? Are these the meditations that you gravitate towards when you're sad or when you're angry or when you're happy or when you're busy or when you're bored? Those are all important details to really start understand yourself. A lot of these things that I'm going to note in this lesson really have nothing to do with meditation. They have everything to do with understanding your habitual patterns and understanding more about yourself and what you need and when you need it, and take a much more mindful approach to it. The next one is, what was your intent entering the meditation? This becomes exponentially important when you're doing self-paced meditations. When you're doing guided meditations, a lot of times the name of the meditation is your intent. On our main website, we have toolbox meditations. So we have meditations for depression, we have ones for anxiety, we have ones for sleep. Those are already your intention, so you know what you're looking for when you grab one of those meditations and go with it. But if you're doing a self-paced meditation, maybe it's a little bit more intricate, or maybe it's a bit more focused. So maybe it's, for example, it's about quieting your mind. Maybe it's about, you know, increasing your creativity. So you also want to track the intention of your meditation, and then you can leverage that against your results as well. So my intention was creativity going into it. Did I feel more creative coming out of it, or was my mind exposed to different ideas or different inspirations? Or did I get sidetracked and it started out as an intent of creativity, but then I quickly ended into silencing my mind because I got a lot going on right now and I'm having trouble lowering the static? So all these things, they're easy to assimilate and, you know, comprehend in the moment, but tracking it long term starts to expose patterns within yourself that maybe should become your focal points. You know, if you're always having a hard time quieting your mind, doing a little bit more work to gain a headspace that you feel comfortable in can serve those other purposes about looking at becoming more creative, or, you know, pushing into gifts or pushing into enlightenment from there on in. You start to expose different areas that become your own roadblocks. The next box is, what did you experience in the meditation? Now, we're going to get into experiences a few more lessons in the future here, but did you have a sensation? Did you have a visualization? Was there geometric patterns? Was there washes of color? Was there a voice, right? Was it feeling like you're floating? Did you feel like you got flipped over inside your own body? These are going to be all things that you're going to note. And you're going to want to do it in a judgment-free zone. So in order to maintain that judgment-free zone, this meditation log or your journal should be somewhere that you know it's going to be safe. And if somebody knows where it is, making sure you feel comfortable with the person reading it just in case. If not, make sure you stash it somewhere that nobody can look at it. So you're free to be as honest as you possibly can there without fear of judgment of others, and especially without judgment of yourself. A lot of these experiences that people go into in these moments seem, you know, sometimes supernatural or out of the ordinary, or they think they're going crazy because they've stepped into a framework of judgment, and that's not the way it should be, or that those things aren't possible. But really they are, right? And it's your struggle with your own judgment and your own terms in that moment can be very difficult, and they can weigh an awful lot on your shoulders in those moments. So when you're journaling, this is like a rule-free space where you're going to write down every experience. You don't need to explain the experience. You're merely writing down what has happened. You don't need to have an answer for it, right? And that can be a very difficult thing to do on an ongoing basis, because your brain will naturally says, well, let's figure out why that happened. And you won't always get that. Or it might not even be what you thought it was to explain it. Your knee-jerk experience or your knee-jerk analyzing of the experience will be something based off the framework of what you know to be true. But as you expand the things that you know to be true, the explanation of that experience might change, right? Some people, when they enter into meditation, talk about the fear of, you know, something else being around them, or they feel another person, or they feel movement on the bed. If they approach that with a fear-based response, generally they're going to push a narrative or develop a story that makes that experience much more scary. And if they become more scared of the experience, they're going to do it less, and it's going to give them a reason to stop. As a teacher, I tend to teach people to embrace those experiences with as little narrative as possible, and be able to look and view that experience for what it was rather than what they're scared it was. It gives you a much more honest look at the things that are happening around you. And then it gives you the ability to choose whether that's an avenue you want to go down and learn more about, or if it's an avenue you want to leave alone for now and explore something different. It's a much more solid choice that isn't full of doubt or guilt. A fear-based choice can lead you to a lot of places you don't want to be. And the last box on the first page is changes from last time you did this meditation, if applicable. Right? So how has this meditation grown? One of the free meditations that you guys get with this course is called The Lake. It's probably one of my most popular meditations on the other website. It's a simple meditation. It's about 20, 24 minutes, I believe. And it's just the simple process is you start out in a mountain meadow, you go into the center of the meadow, you travel down to a lake, you do a exercise to handle stress, you leave the lake, go back to the meadow, and be grateful in the moment for the meditation and the help that you brought in, or that you brought in to help you. It's a very simple toolbox meditation, but I've noted a lot of people through the past have, you know, their view of that meditation has changed based off what they need. And the experience, the more comfortable they get in that meditation, changes, and they're able to get deeper into the exercise or deeper into the meadow itself. And they start to use different facets of that meditation to explore different parts themselves, even though they're using the same meditation over and over and over again. So it's a wonderful way to really leapfrog your meditation practice off into different areas using the same tool. Your intent or your focus within that tool tends to change the better you get with that tool itself. Then on the other side, so the next page now is just, it looks like a blank page from a journal. And it's just the notes page, and it's broken up into three sections of intent, experience, and changes, which follow the three boxes on the other side for you to make as many notes as you want to make in that moment, if you want to bring details out from the meditation. So in the beginning, you'll probably expect to, you know, really be having a trouble filling out the whole page. But as your meditation practice deepens, you'll probably find out that these pages become quite full quite quickly, right? So in the beginning, don't stress about it. Even if it just stays bullet points and it feels awkward filling out this journal or this log, just let it be what it is. But as your practice deepens, I'm sure your reflection will deepen as well. And you'll be able to start documenting different changes along the way. So that brings me to my other point of once we meditate and we've journaled about it, we don't actually look at it until another 30-day cycle passes. So through this process, it's a good idea to meditate for a full 30 days and then go back and review the last 30 days of meditation and look for patterns. Don't review the next meditation or the last meditation and the next meditation, because all you're doing is you're setting yourself up for some preconceived notions. So you're only going to review either at a month at a time, bare minimum 2 weeks at a time, because you want to look for those long-term patterns, not the short-term blips that come along the way. So make sure you have enough time built up where you have at least 2 weeks of meditation. So it's at least 14 meditations, preferably 30, that you can then go back and look for those patterns and then adjust your meditation habit. Nobody starts a meditation habit to have the same habit their entire life. This meditation habit should grow with you and change along the way. So always be looking for new areas that you excel at or that maybe you're weaker at that you can either improve or embrace. Using an aid-like meditation log or a journal will help you really take a top-down approach to this to finalize your meditation routine and really be able to dial in to what's working well versus not. So let's summarize this quick lesson really quick. One, a free meditation log is available on the same site under the resource section. Two, it doesn't matter whether you want to use mine, you want to purchase your own, you want to use something else you found off the internet, or a Blake journal. All you're looking to do is document those steps so you can establish long-term patterns. Three, in the beginning, this is an important step. You don't have to log your meditations, but if you are building a practice right now from scratch, I highly recommend it to give you those extra tools that you're probably not going to remember anyway. So not necessary or not mandatory by any means, but this is an accelerator that's going to help bring your practice to the next level quicker, right? Once you're established inside of a meditation, a lot of people let go of their logs. It doesn't mean you have to. There's some people then log new meditations only just so they have a written account of some of the new stuff they're trying, or if they're trying a new avenue as well. Then they want to document that when there's something new that comes in, but their main practice they don't. So use this as a learning aid and a learning tool to magnify the things that will probably slip through the cracks if you don't use them. Well, that's it for today. Next lesson, we're going to be really diving into setting up your space for meditation. So until then, we'll see you soon.